Okay, before we get to Joey's baptism, we like to spend time in this church looking at God's word every week. During the summer, we've been looking at wisdom and the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning before we baptize Joey, thinking through another subject from the book of Proverbs. We've named this series Wisdom for the Schemes. And we've been looking at different subjects like wisdom and envy, wisdom and anger, wisdom and the family, wisdom and et cetera, et cetera. And today, we're looking at the subject of wisdom and self-control. Wisdom and self-control. I'm just going to read two verses from the Bible just to help us understand what the Bible has to say about this subject. Proverbs 25:28 says this: a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Proverbs 25:28. Titus 2 says this: for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Amen? This is God's word. Let me just pray one more time, and we'll spend some time thinking through what these verses have to say to us this morning. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, gracious God, we thank you that your word is perfect. We thank you that your word is holy, and that through your word you speak to us. And I pray that wherever we're at this morning, whether we're not a Christian, whether we're a baby believer, whether we're a more mature believer, that you might speak to our hearts this morning as you take your word by the power of your Spirit and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Self-control sounds simple and straightforward, doesn't it? It's not flashy. It doesn't grab the headlines. It can be as simple as saying no to another cookie or to another sweet or no to 15 more minutes scrolling through your Instagram reels or your TikTok videos. Or it can be bigger, like doing a whole year of sobriety or growing in sexual purity. And yet, self-control, little and large, is one of the most difficult things a human being can learn to do. That ability to say no to something that you really want. Having mastery over your own desires. Being faced with a temptation that you know is going to drag you back into your old life and yet saying no to that temptation. And this is an area, although it's difficult, that every Christian has been called to grow in. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And we are called as a people, men and women, across the board and children, to be people who are self-controlled. So we'll look at three things this morning. Why do you need self-control in your life? Why do you need that? Why is self-control so difficult? And how can you and I grow in self-control? So why do you need it? Why is it difficult? How can we grow in it? So, why do you need self-control? Well, the proverb that I read earlier gives you the answer. It says this: those who lack self-control are like a city broken into and left without any walls. What does that mean? Well, in ancient days, the city would have been surrounded by a wall, and that wall was your protection from enemies who came to attack you. If you did not have a wall, you were doomed. You were ruined. If you did not have part of your wall built, it meant that people could come and attack you and get into your city easily. And the Bible is saying a life without self-control is like that city that is easily attacked and taken over. Let me say that again. The Bible is saying that a life without self-control in it is like that city that is easily attacked and taken over. In other words, a lack of self-control in a person's life leads to ruin. It leads to devastation. It leads to being overtaken by sin and evil. It means your longings and your desires and your thoughts are out of control. And the book of Proverbs gives us two illustrations. If you go back to chapter 23, it says, look at eating too much or drinking too much. Look at those two things. Look at eating too much or drinking too much. What happens when you eat too much or you drink too much constantly? Well, the book tells us of Proverbs and the Bible, it says it leads to drowsiness, your life being out of control, and ultimately spiritual, physical, and mental poverty. Think about when you go to the Beijing banquet. Who's been to the Beijing banquet before? It's all you can eat Chinese buffet. It's great. It's a good place to go. You sit down, you pay your 20 quid, and you sit there for as long as you can and have as many plates as you can, and you gorge yourself on all the Chinese Scottish food that's there. Because you don't just get Chinese there, you get pizzas and burgers, because apparently that's in China as well. And you eat and you eat and you eat. How do you feel afterwards? Do you feel ready to go for a run? Do you feel ready to go and do some work? Do you feel ready to sit down and read the Bible and pray? No, you feel drowsy. You go into a food coma, don't you? You feel lethargic, unable to do anything else, and very, 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 very thirsty for the next 24 hours. And that's okay on a one-off for a special occasion. What would happen if you ate Beijing banquet every day? What would happen? You'd put weight on, for sure, and you wouldn't get much done in life whatsoever. It would push out all your other priorities, and you'd become a couch potato. Same with drink. You know, a drink now and then is okay, special occasions, a little bit of food every so often. But what happens when drinking becomes your norm? What happens? You get lazy. You push other priorities out the window. You don't face up to the reality of your life, because a lot of people who drink a lot are really medicating their own pain or trying to. You become more and more irritated in life. Ruins your family relationships, your community relationships, your relationship with God. It warps how you see life. It leads to a person being out of control, doesn't it? And if eating and drinking becomes the focus of your life, then your whole life becomes drowsy. In other words, you're all over the place. Your spiritual life's all over the place. Your mental life's all over the place. Your physical life's all over the place. Your relational life's all over the place. And it leads to ruin. You push other important things to the back burner and you focus on that thing in front of you. Food and alcohol are good gifts given by God, aren't they? But when they take over our lives, you become like a city without walls. And they have mastery over you. And that goes for any addiction, doesn't it? Just look around our scheme. If you lack self-control and you're on the gear all the time, what's going to happen? Life's going to be ruined. If you're using all your money to gamble and constantly at the bookies, betting on football, betting on the horses, betting, 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 betting. Money comes in, money goes out, you get into debt, more debt and more debt. What happens when you're watching pornography constantly? It has devastating effects on that person's well-being, their mental life, their spiritual life, their physical life, their relational life. Addictions take over a person and ruin them mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. Do you see? A man, a woman, without self-control is like a man or woman without any walls around them. But when the Bible talks about self-control, it's not just talking about addictions. Some of us might be thinking, well, I've never struggled with cocaine. I've never struggled with drink. I've never struggled with overeating. You know, I'm quite fit. I'm quite healthy. I'm okay. However, self-control in the Bible is not just about drink and drugs and alcohol and gambling and sex and food. The Bible says self-control is about having our whole being under the control of Jesus Christ. Because anger, if it's unchecked, leads to murder. Laziness, unchecked, leads to poverty. Lust, unchecked, leads to adultery. Lies, unchecked, leads to fraud. Envy and jealousy and bitterness, which is way worse than heroin, unchecked, leads to deep, deep bitterness. A loose, gossiping lip, left unchecked, leads to broken churches, broken families, broken communities. Yes, drink, drugs, gambling are devastating, but also is the tongue out of control. Or your mind out of control, or your envy out of control, or your anger out of control, or your pride out of control. Think about Peter Murrell for a moment. Nicola Sturgeon's former husband, former SNP treasurer. Seemed like a nice, normal, law-abiding citizen. But little did we know he loved buying stuff online. Small things and big things. And when you combined his love for buying things with the keys to the kingdom, aka the credit card of the whole nation, what happened? A lack of self-control plus lots of money led him to buying lots of stuff. And you know what? It started off as small things. Teapots, toasters, teacups. And then it moved up to PlayStations and Xboxes. And then suddenly it was jewelry and camper vans. And suddenly he spent £400,000 over 5 years. He gets caught and now he's got a 5-year sentence. What happened? A man without self-control is like a city without walls. A lack of self-control in our lives ruins it. Indulging in sin has painful consequences, whatever it is. Maybe not in the moment, but certainly down the line. That's why the Bible calls us to have self-control in all aspects of our lives, self-control in our minds. What we think about, what we fantasize about, what you believe about God, what you believe about other people. Self-control in how you speak, when you speak, how you speak. Self-control over your body. Self-control, teenagers, over what you wear. Self-control over your emotions. See, self-control is simply living within the boundaries God has given us to live. Having control of our bodies and our minds and our spirits. It's thinking before you act. It's depending on the Lord, not depending on yourself. It's not giving in to your sinful flesh. It's living as the Lord has called you to live by honoring him in every aspect of your life. So if it's important, why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult? Why do you start that diet, eat salads for 2 days, walk into a cafe, and suddenly there's a big chocolate cake there, and you want to eat the whole thing, and you can't control yourself, and you sit down, and you gorge yourself, and just the diet's out the window. Why is it so hard for us to stop scrolling? Why is it so hard to control our thoughts? Why is it so difficult to keep our gobs shut? Why do we keep going back to the drugs, even though we know it doesn't make things better, it makes things worse? Why is it so hard to say no to another plate of food? Why is it so hard to say no? What's that all about? Have you thought about that? Why is it difficult? Well, the reason the Bible tells us is this. It's because you and I are sinners. We are sinners who have sinful hearts that like to indulge our own wants, our own needs, our own desires. We want what we want, and we want it now. It's even deeper than that. Self-control is deeply about what you live for. It's about what you love. It's about what you worship. Because whatever you live for drives the decisions that you make. Whatever you worship drives the decisions that you make. Whatever you love the most drives the decisions that you make. A guy called Tim Keller writes this. He says, anything you run to as your ultimate thing and security more than God creates an addictive pattern in your life. In other words, if you love something more than God, it will automatically bring addictive patterns in your life. Whatever runs your life, whatever brings you security, drives your decisions. And that could be lots of things. Could be drink, drugs, gambling, but it can also be family. It can also be security. It can also be comfort. It can also be sports. It can also be money, power, sex, fame, the easy life. I mean, why do you do anything in life? Why do you do anything in life? You do the things you do because you love them. You do the things you do because you love them. Why do people take drugs, even though it's ruining their lives? Because it gives them joy in the moment, helps people fit in, maybe covers over painful memories. Why do people lie and exaggerate? Those people just tell stories, always got a better story than you. Why? To make themselves look good, because they're painfully insecure. Why do mums fight at the school gates over their children? It's not just about the children, it's about their pride as well. Why do men and women work themselves to death and ignore their families? Because they love money, they love sex, they love fame, they love power. Why do people eat and never exercise? Because they love the ease of life and comfort. Why do people gossip? Because they like the feeling of being in control, that little tidbit of information, and being better than everyone else. It's all driven by what we love, what we desire deep down. We constantly want, we constantly need, we constantly desire, and therefore we struggle with self-control. Think about children, taking children on a day out. You go to an amusement park. You've paid the 20 quid for each child to get into the amusement park. And with that 20 quid, they get 3 or 4 rides. They do all those rides. They're happy for 5 minutes. And then what do they want? They want the nice shiny ride that's not included in the package that you have to pay extra for. So what do? You pay for that. And then they have that. And what do they want next? They want fed. Go get them hot dogs and chips and juices. You give them that. They want to go on more rides. What happens after that? Then they want the ice cream. That's extra as well. Okay, ice cream, they want the cone. They want the chocolate flake. They want the chocolate sauce. What do they want after that? More rides. Then they want to go to the shop and buy all the memorabilia for that place. The hat and the t-shirt and the whatever. And then you take them home, and what do they want? They want their TV program. They want this. They want that. And then they go to sleep. Are they thankful for that day? No, they want more the next day. But that's like each of us. When you look at children, look at your own heart. We want what we want, and we want it now. And so self-control is difficult because it's really about what we love and satisfying what we love in the moment. But self-control is about not getting what we want in the moment. Do you see why it's difficult? It's about delayed gratification. There's sacrifice involved, and we don't like sacrifice, do we? It's painful. It means making difficult choices. See, self-control is the ability to choose the important thing over the urgent thing. Self-control is the ability to choose the important thing over the urgent thing. Saying, I'm not going to do this right now because, do you know what? I know where it's going to lead. It's saying, I'm not going to eat right now because I know if I keep on eating and keep on eating, it's going to affect my health. It's saying, I'm not going to say that thing right now that's in my head. I really want to say it to that person because they're really annoying me. But if I say that thing to that person, it's going to ruin my relationship. And ultimately, it's really unkind. Say, I'm not going to give in to my sexual urges right now. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to have that relationship with that lady or man who's not my wife because it's going to lead to an affair and ruin my marriage. Say, I'm not going to drink right now. though I really, really want to, because ultimately my body and my relationships are struggling. I'm not going to put another bet on, because my spending's out of control, and so is my spiritual life, and it's ruining my family. Saying, I'm going to think, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing right now? The most important thing is I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord, and not what I want to do in the moment. The classic example, I thought I had to use this because we're baptizing Joey today, Joseph. There's a good example in the Bible of a guy called Joseph. You might have heard of him, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. But Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. He's left for dead, sold into slavery. But while he's there, he becomes head of a guy called Potiphar's house. But the problem is, Potiphar's wife takes a shining to him. And Potiphar's wife wants to sleep with Joseph. Day after day, she begs him to sleep with her. Day after day, she tempts him, says, come and lie with me. And it would have been easy for Joseph to say, do you know what? I'm going to sleep with her. Do you know why? Because he's away from his family. He's in a foreign land. He's good looking. She's young and beautiful. Nobody's going to know. Doesn't really matter. I'm just going to do it. But do you know what Joseph does? He says no. He says no to her over and over again. On the last attempt, when she's basically lying naked on the bed saying, come and sleep with me, do you know what he does? He runs away. Do you know why he does that? He says this, I don't want to dishonor my master, and I don't want to dishonor the Lord. That's a really good example of self-control. It's saying, in this moment, I don't want to dishonor my master and Lord Jesus Christ. I've made a commitment to him. I said, I want to follow him all my days. I've been baptized, maybe. Maybe I haven't been baptized, but I've said, I want to follow Jesus. And so in this moment, I'm going to say no to this thing that I really, really want, because I know long-term the pain that it's going to bring. And we'll look at the future reward to come. So how can we grow in self-control? How do you grow in it as we end? How can we be men and women who have those walls around us, who are self-controlled? The Bible has lots and lots to say, and I can't go into it right now. But Titus 2 says this, it is the grace of God that trains us to be self-controlled. It's the grace of God that controls us and helps us to be self-controlled. And that's surprising, isn't it? Why is that surprising? Well, most people think, all right, I'm going to go out from this service, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try really hard to be self-controlled now. I'm a new person. I'm going to try. I'm going to be disciplined. That's going to make me a self-controlled person. But the Bible says you need your heart changed before your actions can change. Your desires need to be changed. You need to know the grace of God deeply in your life, and that's what changes our actions and the decisions that we make. Why? Grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. And when you receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes our hearts, and it changes our minds, and it changes our actions, and it changes how we live our lives. Grace changes a person from living for themselves to living for God's glory. Saying, I don't want to just follow my own desires and wants and needs and desires. I'm now going to follow Jesus and what he wants for me. Only by the grace of God can we say yes to righteousness and no to sin. Think about it. When a person suddenly wants to change and grow in self-control, it's usually for a reason. You know, dieters want to have their diets to fit into their wedding dresses or go on holiday and get that beach bod. The addict wants to change to keep their family. Etc., etc. There's always a reason. I remember when I was at university, and I was a lazy student. I really was. I was coasting. More interested in socializing than working. Wasn't very tired, tidy. I was quite messy. Yes, Mez, I was very messy. Then I met Debbie, my wife. Fell in love with her. And suddenly I began to go to lectures with a spring in my step. And I started to be there and work hard. partly to impress her, but partly my heart had been changed. I washed a little bit more, made myself look a bit better. What had changed? My heart had changed. The greatest motivation for change in our lives is not us seeking to try harder, but by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and his deep, deep love for us. That's what changes our actions. Self-control is not primarily God shouting down from heaven and saying, get a move on. Get going, son. Stop doing that. He says, no, look at my son. Look at my one and only precious son who loved you and died for you. Look at his life that he lived that you could not live. Look at his perfect death, how he died in your place. Look at his resurrection from the grave. Look at him praying for you before the Father and be changed by his grace. God doesn't give us 12 steps. It's not in the Bible. He gives us a person to look at and be changed by, and his name is Jesus. He alone has the power to save us. He alone has the power to change us. He alone can give us true purpose in this lost and broken world. He alone can give us grace and give us mercy in our time of need. With our desires changed by Jesus, he says, by his grace, fight. Fight. Fight for self-control by his grace. Submit yourself, your whole self, under the lordship of Christ. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not your own strength, because you don't have any. Be controlled, not by your flesh, not by your wants, not by your needs, not by your desires. Be controlled by the love of Christ. The Bible says, fight with the strength that only God can give you. Joey, it's really good to get baptized today. We're praising God with you. But in order to honor the Lord, you need to fight. Fight by the grace of God. And by his grace, grow and grow and grow in self-control. Not your own strength, but in the strength of Jesus every day. That's the same for all of us. All of us here this morning. All of us, whatever's going on in our lives, can have hope. We have hope in this area. Why? Because Jesus Christ said no to sin all the way to the cross. He said no to Satan. He said no to the world. He was self-controlled, and he died on the cross to purchase a people for himself, to change their hearts and give them a new life. That's what Jesus has purchased for you. Maybe you're a Christian this morning. You've committed to follow Jesus, and you're struggling in this area. You're battling with the old life. You're battling with the drink. You're battling with the gambling. You're battling with the drugs. You're battling with food. You're battling with an uncontrollable tongue. You're battling with an envious heart. You're battling with a discontented soul. Remember, you're now under the lordship of Christ. You died to that old person. That's not you anymore. You now live as a new creation in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you. Jesus purchased you. Jesus rose from the grave, conquered sin, Satan, and death. So you can say no to any sin and any struggle that's going on in your life. If you're struggling, do you know why you're struggling? Because your eyes are down here and not up there. Your eyes are on yourself and not on Jesus Christ. Get your eyes from down here and get your eyes on your victorious and precious and wonderful Savior. And as you do that, he will help you to grow. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. You're wondering what this Christian thing is all about. It's maybe your first time in church. Let me tell you this. Being a Christian is not God shouting down at heaven at you, saying, you should do better. You're a waster, you are. No, it's about a Savior. It's about Jesus Christ, the most wonderful Savior and Lord, coming down from heaven for uncontrollable sinners like us, saving us, changing us from the inside out. Church, this church is for sinners who've messed up. That's what this church is for. That's what every church is for. For people who are envious, for people who are proud, for people who are self-centered, for people who are selfish, for people who are gossipers, for people who are liars, who are uncontrollable sinners. And yet Jesus Christ died for us and is slowly but surely putting our lives back together. And if you want to be saved this morning, all you have to do is get on your knees like Joey did, call out to him, repent of your sins, and put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he will save you. That's a promise. Amen.